Sanderson Penn's podcast, episode 310 for Wednesday, February 27th, 2019. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
Welcome.
So, Brian, don't you want to just dance? I want like a flapper dress with a fringe and just flips around.
I don't know that I'm able to. So
Brian's wounded today.
Snow, lots of snow to shovel.
That's what it was. You were shoveling.
I was shoveling last night. I took like the second scoop of snow, and I felt this like tinge, and that was that.
So broke it. Okay. Anyway,
hit
me with this joke that supposedly is funny.
I ran it past creative first. I got mixed reviews.
You know, we pay them, so they humor you.
Eric chuckled.
Oh please.
Justin smiled with that smile that he has, that you
tell,
like, I can't tell if he's just
humoring me
or it actually is funny, and it went way over Steph's head.
How about Lynn's? She had her headphones in. She didn't even know
I told a joke.
Well,
so
just like at home.
What do you get?
I get nothing.
When you cross an Egyptian mummy and a car mechanic.
I have no idea.
A tootin' car man.
Again, the funniest thing is watching you crack yourself up.
A tootin' car man.
Okay. Thank God that portion of the segment is over for this
all
week.
Right. We're good. I totally forgot about it. I had to improvise on the joke, so anyway.
Okay.
What do we have? We got a couple things this week. It's February 27th.
Sure.
You are wearing some new earrings.
Yes. Are we going to talk about Valentine's Day now or when we do the LA show recap?
Sure, why not?
So we went to LA for the show.
We were gone for like 75 days.
Oh my God.
It was
the drive back from hell.
Insane.
And we drive to 14, 15 shows a year. This, I can't remember a worse return trip.
This is probably the worst travel we've seen in
a decade.
Yeah, a long time.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else worse.
We were in LA, and we're going to be there for several days. And we went to a liquor store to buy a bottle of bourbon. And of all the things we found, Brian found a bottle of tequila he has been looking for since before we even started dating.
Yeah, I never did figure out exactly what year it was, but it's been...
What year we started dating or what year?
No.
Because you should know that.
It's probably been 12 years. I've been looking for this for 12, not like every day looking for it, but...
Every time we travel or in Chicago, there are a number of liquor stores that have a lot of interesting things. Our local liquor store, which carries some interesting things and brings in a lot of stuff, sells through, and then brings in other things. So,
but even people who carry this brand don't carry this particular...
Model,
as it were.
And we were just looking like, oh, all right, we're just going to zip through the tequila section and just see. It's not going to be there, but we're going to look. And, oh, my God, I thought
behind
I was going to have to pick him up off the floor. They had the tequila.
I actually did a Home Alone. I was like...
He did. It was the funniest thing. Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And then we saw the price, and it was pretty pricey. And he actually was going to leave it.
I was going to leave it. Sometimes it's better just to leave something there and then think that it's...
You were going to talk about it and whine about it for the next 10 years. Like, oh, I should have gotten it. I could have gotten it. So that was Brian's Valentine's Day present. This bottle of tequila that he's been looking for over a decade. And... We took it back to the hotel. The only thing we had in the room were paper cups. And we both had a sip. And then Brian had a little bit. And then he decided that we were not going to drink any more of this, which concerned me because this was not cheap. But it deserves better,
than a paper cup. Paper cup, yeah.
So
for those that are keeping track or who have an interest in fine tequilas, it's Chinaco Añejo.
Sipping tequila. This is not a lime and salt kind of tequila.
No, it's good stuff.
And I got two pair of earrings from a friend of ours who makes custom jewelry. And I had messaged her, and there'll be pictures in the podcast, but I messaged her and I said, you know, are these, Brian doesn't have a Valentine's Day present for me. Shockingly, neither of us had stacks of pens. Right. Are your products ready-made or are they made to order? And she said she had everything. What was I interested in? So I told her. And then the coolest thing was her husband delivered them to us at the show, which is cool. And so a big shout out to Jill for the gorgeous jewelry. I love them. And if you're interested, ladies or gentlemen, in anything for the lady in your life, she does great work.
Very and
the
reasonable.
Photography, yeah, really, really reasonable. The photography on her Etsy shop is really cool. It shows them all in natural shells and leaves and all the stuff that they have in LA that we don't have in the frozen tundra up here.
All right. Pens?
Pens.
This week, a couple of things that we'll call them the last of the last, maybe.
It's nice to be nice to the
nice? It's nice to be nice. Land of the last. Cross Peerless.
I like that. Land of the
land
last.
Land of the last. Yeah, we'll keep that one.
Right.
Cross Peerless Cities Special Edition. These have been officially discontinued.
We have a few.
We have literally like one left of each. Tokyo, London, and New York. My favorite actually is the Tokyo, not just because it's Japanese. It's a cool, cool pattern. If that one were not to sell, I would probably be okay with that.
Buy it, please.
This is Cross's flagship pen. It really is. It's big.
It is definitely big. Big and fairly heavy.
It's heavy. It's a 149 size. I like that the cap posts on the barrel with a click. So it clicks on there.
It's on there securely.
Swarovski crystal in the top jewel of the cap. And maybe even the best part, if all that isn't cool, cool pattern. So these cities, they're modeled after buildings. You know, the New York is like the Chrysler building and Tokyo is, I forget the building, but.
The engraving is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's really, really nice.
It's really, really done well. It's nice and substantial. It's not screen printed, right? You can feel it.
Yeah, it's really well done. And the best part, nibs, 18 karat, made by our favorite manufacturer of nibs in Japan.
Sailor.
So, and you can tell if you've seen enough nibs, you can see that the profile is what it is. So, in fact, they actually have an option for a zoom nib on a Cross Peerless.
Which is cool.
Which is pretty cool. So they come in extra fine, medium, broad, and zoom. We don't necessarily have all the nib options. We have most of the nib options based on trim. I think they're on the website listed as fine nib, but if there's something else that you want, definitely call and we'll see if we can swap it out. That being said, we also have separate nib units available. So if you do already own a Peerless, whether it be a City Special Edition or one of the other models,
We can,
and it actually comes as a whole section. It's a section, nib, feed, collar, and a section. So literally it's a whole front piece. You can screw it in and you have a separate nib for you. And we're...
Which is rare because Sailor does not sell separate nib units ever on Sailor pens, but Cross did have these available.
Yeah, these are marked Cross. 18 karat, we have rhodium and gold, and we're selling the nib units separately and for like... Normally they're $189 a piece.
Right.
And Cross is basically discontinuing these. I think they might be getting rid of all the Peerless fountain pens. So these nib units are super cheap. Less than half of what retail is. So check those out. And if you like those, get the pen and get an extra nib too. I think we've got one zoom nib left. So
grab that.
But anyway, there's that. And while we're kind of in Japan, we happen to find this. Look at that.
One more, the absolute last that we have.
This is it.
This is the Meiji Maru. Again, Pilots.
I paid for that bottle of tequila for myself. So does that mean this could be mine. It matches my shirt. It's got a ship on it. Look, it fits nicely on that.
Why don't you tell the audience at home what they're going to get when they buy it, because you are not keeping that.
This is a really, really lovely pen. It's Yukari size, same size as if you've seen the Chinkin, the flat tops, the the Sakura, the pine needles. So it's a flat top. It's got this unique clip. We've got the ship on here, but navy blue Arushi.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's really great.
It's not really navy. It's kind of a marine blue. It's a little... It's gorgeous. That's what it is.
And the Mount Fuji on the cap is beautiful. You know, I can almost see, you know, there was a lot of... When they came out with that big set and all the pens were ring tops, a lot of people were like, well, it's a ring top.
Right.
But on this, I can see it. You know, they make a ring top because then you can see all the art on the cap. I could see if that were a ring top, it would be really cool. But anyway, it's entirely usable with a clip. It's very beautiful. It comes in this gorgeous box, this bamboo box, and then it has this metal insert in it with the P for pilot.
Comes with a bottle of ink.
Really, really great. Comes with a bottle of ink with
the
special logo on it.
Absolute last one.
It's the last one. Medium nib, which actually isn't half bad because if you know you want something, you got something to grind there if you want to grind it down to something else. But very pretty, limited edition.
Not going to last.
Yeah, so Meiji Maru. Also, as long as we're in Japan, we're going to go to Sailor. Well,
we're in Japan.
We're in Japan.
Talking.
We're going to be,
Japan.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're not in Japan yet. That's next week.
Yeah, we can talk about that later.
I know.
The Sailor Mosaic. There are two left. These came in.
Absolutely. Two.
Black, the black and gray, and then the red.
Which is cool. It's like red and blue and purple. This is really pretty.
That's the only color I don't have. Is that color. And the more I look at it, the more I see these undertones of blue that pop out of the purple.
In the right light. The blue and the purple with kind of this terracotta red.
Yeah, it's got a little depth to it, doesn't it? It's just really...
It does.
It's really nice. The black and gray is very understated. I think this is the kind of pen you really want to... You want to have something special. You want to fly under the radar. This black one is just awesome.
You know, the interesting thing is that the black... is more swirl or smears, and this is more clearly defined, I don't want to call it chunks,
but chips
of color.
And that's how the black...
Both are very interesting.
The black has traditionally been that way. We've seen this amongst different, you know, they made this pen in the 1911 standard, that's what this is. They didn't make it in a 1911 large, but they made it in a King of Pan. They also made it in a full-size Pro Gear. And the black has been the one that has notoriously been seen with these swirls. It's, you know, like almost the material has been smeared, less blocky. Now, this one here does not reflect that. This one is very chunky.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's very even. It's a really good-looking pen. But we've never seen that swirl kind of pattern with any of the other colors.
Right.
But again, this one is, and sometimes it looks a little inconsistent because the cap will be swirly and the bottom, the barrel will be blocky.
This one
looks really, really, really good, really solid.
So please, somebody grab the red before Brian does.
Yeah, I already have the black, so look at this.
Put it down.
The top.
Put it down.
The top of this cap is awesome. It's really, really something else.
You can't have it. You have
anyway,
one.
Anyway, those are the last two mosaics we have.
Yes.
And then when they're gone, they're gone.
They're gone.
They're not going to be anymore. Because they just found this rod stock and they made some pens. And I like that they...
I want to be wherever they find random stuff. Like, who's got that under their desk in Japan?
I want to go to the warehouse and go, okay, where is the furthest place in the warehouse?
Give me the darkest, dustiest, cobwebbiest corner.
Underneath a
bench. Give me 20 minutes.
We're going to come up with something.
And a flashlight.
You know what I like? I like that they did about this pen, and I'm excited about this, is they kept true... to the pen the way it was when they made it like 3-4 years ago.
Yes.
They use a different clip than they use on a standard 1911 standard. They use a different clip. They have the same cap band that they used. So, I mean, it's identical to what it used to be. They didn't just throw in, okay, well, we don't have any of those clips. We'll put a different clip on. Well, you know, we don't have that cap band. They made it exactly the same.
Right.
So.
Very cool.
Anyway, Mosaic. Also, make sure, if any of you are interested in vintage pens, before LA, I was able to really pump out quite a number of new vintage pens. In fact, I think yesterday...
New vintage, yes. Okay.
Yesterday, I think I gave Creative like 30 pens to photograph and deal with. So those are coming up.
Was that the screaming I heard?
Okay. But, you know, there's a lot of them. And if you're interested in vintage, make sure to sign up for the mailing list. It's at the bottom of every page on the website, because we're going to be having those in the newsletter pretty much every week for the next couple weeks.
So here's my problem.
What's that?
You have restored a boatload of pens mm-hmm. in the last, since Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving, yeah.
Okay. And I don't see that the pile gets any smaller.
Well,
the you still have boxes everywhere, and I have actually peeked in them when I go down to do laundry. And I don't see that the baggies inside get any smaller.
I'm not doing 100 pens a day.
Well, maybe you should. All right. So
anyway, there's a really good selection coming out there. There's a bunch of nice Ester books, including some with some really, really great nibs. So, and on a couple of them, I put better nibs in there. Now, the price reflects that, but then you don't have to go out and find that nib.
Right.
We've got a copper, a real nice dark copper J with a 9788 flexible medium. It's going to be a little expensive, but you know that nib alone is $45.
So here's my problem, though. In L.A., Brian leaves the table with some money. He goes to get a couple parts. We have some parts at home, and he needs a couple parts, and he's got a list, and we made sure that he had his list before we left home.
Actually, I forgot the list.
Oh, my God. And so...
I did. I saw it. I'm like, I went downstairs last night. I'm like, oh, I forgot the list. I forgot to buy that part.
Nope. So he leaves the table, goes to find some parts, and comes back with this fistful of pens.
Well,
what the heck?
So listen, I'm sitting there. I'm at Rich Lott's table. Rich is the king of parts.
Yes.
He really is. That's all he does. And Rich is a great guy. He doesn't do anything with pens outside of pen shows. So
right.
when he goes home, he boxes all the stuff into, you know, it's
in
all
in his suitcase and just leaves it there.
And leaves it till the next show. He doesn't sell online. You can't call him up and say, "Hey, listen, I need a cab for 51."
Because it's in a suitcase.
It's in buckets, plastic buckets, bins. He doesn't do anything with it. He goes to flea markets and he sells other things.
Right.
So I go there and there's this bin. It's about, you know, what is that, 4 or 5 inches tall. You know,
it's more than four or five inches,
you know, a foot deep. And it's all parts. I'm like, okay, well, I have caps. I just need barrels and sections and nibs. And then
the rest of the pen.
I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, well, this is stupid. Why don't I just, there are sections, there are barrels, there are clutch rings, there are nibs. Why don't I just buy 8 complete pens?
So you still need parts for those caps?
Well, no, I just have extra caps.
Well, didn't you just have extra caps before?
Well, I did, but now I have... I don't know. I just thought it was stupid because the price was right. Why am I buying some parts and not the whole pen?
Okay.
You know,
so you bought pens.
I bought
pens. And now you still have caps.
Well, it worked out because one of the caps had a bad clutch
in
it.
Help me out, people.
And so instead of spending the time to pull the clutch out and straighten it out, replace the clutch, I just replaced the whole cap.
Okay.
So see, the cap came in handy. I just bought, you know.
Awesome.
So, yeah, anyway, lots of vintage. We've got some Parker 45s. We've got new old stock shaver snorkels coming out in the box, matching pencils.
Some of those boxes are cool.
One of them even has the original cellophane. They've got the original aluminum hang tags on them. I mean, it's perfect. It's the way shaver shipped it from the factory. You don't often see them with the cellophane wrapper, with the box, the outer cardboard sleeve. I mean, it's perfect. Everything is there. Really a great, great set. I've got a set with a matching mechanical pencil and a matching ballpoint.
Okay.
Great stuff. So
all right.
45s, Ester Books, what else we got? Vacuumatics, Skyline with the flexible nib, all sorts of great stuff. Sign up for the mailing list.
There you go.
Done.
All right.
InkoRimo. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
How you doing on InkoRimo? I got one in.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that.
What?
Well, Brian wrote me a note. Was it the day we left for LA? I think it was.
I don't remember.
And I tucked it into...
You lost it?
No. The leggings that I wore to LA have this little pocket. I don't know if it's like a key pocket
you
or whatever.
You washed it. You sent it to the wash?
I washed it last night.
I sent this heartfelt note.
Oh, please. It was like...
Using one of my... treasured like fountain pens.
An inch wide by like an inch and a half long. It was.
So it was powerful.
It was like barely stamp size. Yes, I washed it.
You washed it. Jeez.
Because
so was it waterproof?
No.
It was just like a piece of paper that came out.
Just this big little wad. So, InkoRimo, I do want to say, we got an email from a local customer here in Appleton, Mike, and Mike told me he's doing InkoRimo for me.
Wow. So he's doing two a day instead of one a day.
I don't know, but thank you because I have gotten nowhere.
I'll write you a note today.
So if I go up and sign on customers' invoices, does that count?
No, doesn't count. It has to be like an, it has to be.
Dear so-and-so, enjoy the pen?
It's got to be more than that.
What a great color. Heart
it's
Lisa?
It's got to be more than that.
Does it?
Yes.
Well, how long was yours?
Long enough.
InkoRimo, epic fail.
If it's a love letter to you, no length required.
Oh, just a heart and a B counts?
Shouldn't it?
InkoRimo, right. Epic fail for me.
I'm not doing so well. This is an especially busy, especially trying month, so.
Yes.
You know what? What is today? Today is 27th. I still got
27th? A day.
Yeah, it's Wednesday the 27th.
Oh, yes. I'm still trying to recover. Well, we also were just in Chicago.
Oh, my God.
So I'm still trying to.
Just move on to the next one, I think. This is an epic fail. So we just got back from L.A.
You know what? Let's not even try InkoRimo next year. Let's try to not do it at all. How would that be?
Wouldn't be any more effort than I'm giving.
Exactly.
All right. L.A. Pen Show recap. Different room this year. There's a little bit of talk on the interwebs.
You know, I get that people don't like change, but people, the average attendee and even the average vendor has no clue what goes into organizing a pen show. And we have a little more experience from some personal association with one of the organizers of the Philly show. We help out with the I help out with the auction at Columbus and occasionally other shows. So maybe we understand a little better what goes into the back end of organizing and producing a show. It's a major event. And then you add in a big ass show like LA. I'm feeling feisty.
Well, see, the thing is it's not like there are other options. It's not like, well, I'll skip LA this week because next week is the Santa Ana pen show, you know,
right.
Or, you know, whatever. I mean, there's one show a year, that's it. And there's nothing close. I mean, you know, for West Coast people, the next closest show is San Francisco, which I realize is not really close.
Or Denver, I suppose.
Yeah, or Denver, which is not, you know, even remotely close. But, you know, it's not like there are options, and you have to play by their rules.
Yes.
And it's just how it is, and it's how it's been for decades. I mean, we've been doing this for 20 years.
Yes.
And it was that way 20 years ago.
Yes, and even before. So, having said that, yes, the room was different. Yes, the layout was different. Yes, the aisles were a little more narrow.
Noticeably narrower, yeah.
The room itself, I thought was really interesting because the walls were finished up to about 8 or 10 feet, and then the rest of it was like concrete with the popcorn stuff going on.
Yeah, it was very industrial.
Yeah. The lights were cool. I thought the lighting was good.
There was a lot of natural light in the room.
Yes.
The whole
one entire wall was nothing but glass.
Which consequently made it a little warm, in the room.
It did. But the light was great. And you know, at some shows, it's terrible. So,
yeah, you had a can light that was shining straight down right in front of you. I didn't have that, so it was slightly darker over by my area. I'm sure you are.
I'm so sure
that's sincere. Put it in an InkoRimo note.
So sorry.
Dear Brian, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, but you know, that's what it is. Light's typically not always, it's not always ideal, or it will be in one spot, but not in the next. But, you know,
the lighting was great.
All that aside, the weather was kind of crappy on Thursday and Friday, so I realized people didn't come out.
Which, it never occurred to me that people in LA don't drive. when it rains.
When it rains apparently like
it
that.
Backs up the highways and the traffic. Yeah. And so Thursday and Friday, the traffic at the show was very light.
Yeah, I'll say Saturday and Sunday, while maybe not as much traffic as I think we've seen in previous years, we're really on par with what we've seen in the past.
People were excited to be there.
I mean, there were some killer finds, in the wild, 95th anniversary Rialo that I missed by like this much.
And now you hate Stacy, right?
So...
Love you, Stacy.
On trans right next to us on Thursday, and he always has platinum, sailor, pilot pen.
He's sort of like Sarge, only... not quite as organized.
Yeah, he buys pens and he flips them. He doesn't restore them. He just buys them, sells them as he gets them. You know, I don't even know if he wipes them down, whatever. But he always has them there. And I'm looking at his sailors. I'm like, oh, that's cool, that's cool, that's cool. And then there's a King of Pen, which I didn't even bother to pick up. Skipped over it, went to the next pen. Stacy comes over, looks, oh, there's a King of Pen. Pulls out his 95th anniversary Rialo, Naganata Togi Nib.
And Brian is watching him like a hawk.
I told him.
To see if he puts it down because Brian's going to grab it.
I told him, I said, listen, he showed it to me. He says, well, what do you think of this? I said, if you don't buy this, I will. So you need to buy this right now. And I was trying. I was trying to be polite. You know, An's a friend of ours and Stacy's a friend of ours. And, you know, I just, you know, I'm like.
And you were like, screw the both of them. Give me this pen. And Stacy bought it and Brian is still festering.
Well,
over it.
I'm just going to. I have one. I have one.
Yeah, so what do you need another one for?
Well, no, I just, you know, we have customers that occasionally ask for that particular pen. It's very scarce. They made it in two editions, a Japanese domestic edition of 500 units, and then there was an outside Japanese issue of 100 units, and this was a non-JDM, I guess you might want to call it, edition. So, you know, it's a very scarce pen, very scarce.
So Stacy got a great pen. And
that was great.
Brian didn't need one, and it was good to hang out. And it's all good.
No, but then there was some really cool overlays. I saw some really, really great overlays at the show. A couple that I was, you know, Rob Lott had A.A. Waterman overlay on his table.
I hate him.
Oh, man.
Love
it was
Rob.
I couldn't believe it. $250 full gold fill overlay on an A.A. Waterman. It was really, really super.
He's got amazing pens.
Really, really great.
Sweetheart of a guy.
Good stuff. I can't even tell you what else. They're just
we didn't get away from the table all that
much. No. In fact, I never got over to... Atoya came over, dropped off some pens that we had delivered.
And some ink.
And some ink.
Some of the last of the Four Seasons ink in the 50ml bottle.
And I got to say hi to Larry. I shook his hand, and I think we talked... I talked to him for like 20 seconds, maybe, if that. And then I had to go back. You talked to him a little bit more. Yep. But that was it. I never got back to the table.
Right.
So it was a little bit busier on Saturday and Sunday.
You know, I thought overall the show was decent. And a new venue is hard on anybody. But, you know, some shows switch hotels all the time.
Right.
Like Baltimore has been at like
five or six different hotels
in the last 10 years.
You know, once we figured out the logistics, where the best place to park was, it wasn't too bad. Because originally we were concerned that we're going to have to take the elevator.
And there were only three, and it seems like all three never worked at the same time. So if all of us and customers were trying to use the same elevators to go up and down, that was going to be problematic.
Yeah.
But it really wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
So it was warmer than it is here.
It was still pretty cold in LA.
A little brisk, but it was better than there was no snow until after we left. It snowed in LA, isn't that crazy?
But we got to spend time with our good friend Jason and his wife Liz. We had dinner with them. That was nice.
We could see the water.
Yeah, we could see the water. It was brutally windy that
night.
Yeah,
we were going to go down and take a little walk by the pier in what beach was that? Redondo Beach?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
It's all one big beach.
It was really cold and windy, and they decided we were not going to do that. So that was fine.
Yeah, that was fine. But it was a nice little stroll afterwards.
It's nice to go on a double date.
Yeah, it was nice. A little bit loud in the restaurant, but maybe that's just me getting old. I don't know.
Maybe. Should we get you a hearing aid?
No, I don't want to hear
it. Just checking.
Anyway, lots of good stuff. Some new things we saw. That'll be coming out. The new Visconti Breeze we were able to pick up at the show, so that's coming soon.
I got to take a picture with Michael in front of one of their banners.
Oh, yeah.
With like dueling breezes.
Yeah, you know, they never asked me to take a picture. You're prettier. Anyway, So LA Pen Show, you know, it was different this year. We'll see, you know, what happens next year. And I don't know if this new venue, if that's where it's going to be, or if that's where they moved it. Because the old ballroom is still there. We had it last year, but.
You know, it's still worth it for us to go. Yeah. But on the way back, it took 4 days instead of two to come back.
Way too long.
And it was, you know, so we were gone for about 10 days. And that's maybe too long
it's
for
too
us
long.
To both
it's
be gone and have product with us. So we're rethinking.
Every day we get cut short like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like we're trying to get to Denver. Like we can't make it. It's 2 hours away. We're just not going to do it. Not going to risk going through the Rockies.
Whiteouts and icy roads. It was crazy. We've never had a trip.
You get one bad day.
Yeah.
And then, you know, well, that's kind of how it was going out. We got stuck in Des Moines.
Yeah.
We couldn't get any further. But then the rest of the trip was fine.
But this was, Sunday night was fine. But then Monday night, Tuesday night, we got back Wednesday?
Wednesday night, yeah. Wednesday morning was bad. And most of Wednesday was fine, but.
Yeah, just crazy. So I'm rethinking that.
So anyway. LA Pen Show, what do we got next?
Ask us anything.
Great.
All right, you ready?
Blue. Is that not the question?
No. What are some great ballpoints from a female perspective?
Oh,
as in ballpoints for smaller hands.
You should answer that. You're a female. You have smaller hands.
I do.
How big are your hands? No?
No.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Ballpoints for smaller hands. I really like the Parker Jotter. I really like the click. In fact, I sometimes do it really annoyingly.
Yes, you do. You do.
That's okay.
I like cap actuated ballpoints, whether it be the whole cap or a button. I think it's very convenient.
And they just came out with the Parker Jotter XL, which is 7% bigger. We've talked about that. It's not.
They missed a one. They had to have missed like a one
know.
Or a two or something.
But it's not twice
huge,
as big.
Yeah.
So even that is a comfortable size for my hand. I also really, really like the Cross Beverly.
It's
fairly new. It's kind of curvy. It's really a great shape. It's a good size. I like that.
You know, the Waterman Hemisphere is thin too.
Yes,
that's
I like those.
It's a solid pen. I've always been a big fan of the Hemisphere. It was one of my very first fountain pens 20 some years ago.
And the ballpoint is nice and thin.
The ballpoint's a little bit thinner, yeah.
It's
not quite like Sailor Shalana.
Oh my, that's
type
too thin.
Yeah. But this is a checkbook size even, maybe. Would that be a good way to describe it? Nice patterns, nice colors. It's just a well-built ballpoint.
You know, I also like the Conklin Duragraph. The ballpoint.
Yeah, a little bit bigger.
It's a little bit bigger, but it's not huge.
I mean, you know, you're talking Retro 51 size.
Yes.
Almost.
In
terms of girth at the top.
But, you know, when you reach a certain age or if you have carpal tunnel, you want something a little bit bigger, but maybe not huge.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right.
And Retro. Love Retro. All right. The DC Pen Show and the San Francisco Pen Show are both in August. Yes, they are. At which show will I find Anderson Pens?
Yes. Next question.
Both. We will be in D.C. And we will be in San Francisco.
I like the D.C. show.
You know, again, it's big and sometimes chaotic, but when you have that many people, it's going to be a little crazy.
Yeah, there's always going to be. And the best thing to do is just to kind of go in and just kind of go with the flow.
Yeah.
Go with the flow.
Don't fight it.
So, yeah, D.C. and San Fran will be at both shows.
Yes.
Different helpers behind the table.
Yes. Well, this is an interesting question.
Okay.
What is your favorite unsung hero?
I know what yours
pen?
Is going to be.
Unsung hero, as in not.
Nobody talks about?
Schaefer Intensity.
She loves her Intensity. Really
love
it.
Love my Schaefer Intensity. Brian used to mock me because anytime we'd be in the store and somebody would look at Schaefer's or an Intensity, I'm like, from the other side of the room, love my Schaefer Intensity.
Like, okay, thanks. Thanks for your help.
I love my Schaefer Intensity.
You know, I, along that same vein, the Schaefer 100, I think people don't talk about enough. You know, it doesn't have as many nib options as anybody else. You know, you're fine in medium. But I always was a big fan of the 100. It's larger sibling, the 300. But I think the 100, I mean, at its price point and its size, you get a converter, you know, it's like right around $50. Solid metal pen. I mean, you pick it up and it's not, you know, it's not a cheap piece of plastic.
How about the Prelude? I like the Prelude. I like
Prelude
the
too. You know, even amongst, you know, apparently this question is going to be Schaefer's the unsung brand, but in as far as Schaefer is concerned, Prelude is like the unsung Schaefer because it's an unsung hero because it's really a, you know, it has a triangulated section on the fountain pen.
Right.
But it's got a little grip to it, which is nice. Friction fit cap. I mean, you know, it's good, and it's a good looking pen. They have some good color options.
All right. So ink, your favorite unsung hero ink, Cross Violet.
Okay.
To die for. Gorgeous, nice, gorgeous color.
Big bottle.
Yes.
Nice sturdy bottle. I would say, yeah, I would agree with Cross ink is not as,
Nobody talks about it. Well, they used to have only black and blue, and right. Then they came out with four or five more colors. The green is nice and bright. The red is pretty bright, but the violet is just
that's the best one by far.
Yes.
In terms of popularity. I would also throw in there maybe Graphon Faber-Castell.
They make some
cool colors.
The gorgeous bottle.
The bottles, I won't say it's the best. I mean, I'm hardcore Mont Blanc bottle fan. I have been for most of my collecting life. But that bottle is so good.
Yes.
It is so, you can repurpose it. I've got one, I've said it before, I actually have my shellac in a Graphon Faber-Castell bottle because it's the only thing that's not going to tip over. It's heavily weighted on the bottom. Wide opening. Now, when you get low, then you can't tip it over like you can a Waterman bottle or a Mont Blanc bottle, but you can use a needle filler, a Penniter snorkel filler, or just use a snorkel.
Right.
There's an idea.
There you go.
But yeah, I not enough love for Graf.
Right.
Not enough love.
Same thing with Caran d'Ache. They make a really awesome tilted bottle. The bottom of the bottle is actually slanted, and so it sits at an angle, which helps you fill
nice
it when it gets low.
Big, easy to grip cap too. You know, I mean, a Rochezuco is a great, great ink, but that cap is ridiculous.
It's slippery.
It's that thick. You can't grab it. You know, unless you know if it's on too tight or there's ink under there, you need a gripper square to remove it. Mm-hmm. But Caran d'Ache, no problem. Yep. Graf, no problem.
You know, and again, these are unsung heroes, so there are tons of other great things, but these are some of the colors and some of the brands that not everybody talks about, and you really should check them out.
Paper.
Paper blanks,
yep.
Gorgeous, gorgeous covers. I don't know that I could use paper blanks like I use Rhodia. It's not just a
maybe that's the problem is people think that a paper blanks is more for journaling because it is such a beautiful notebook.
It is.
But they're reasonably priced. Why can't you use it for writing your shopping list?
Because I have a problem with notebooks anyway.
Can you give me the notebook? I'll write in the first five pages.
No!
I'll write my list. But I think maybe that's the problem. You know, with a Rhodia, you expect it, or Clairefontaine, you expect it to be, it's disposable.
Right.
With a paper blanks, it looks like it's something that's been sitting on the shelf for 50, 80, 100 years.
It's gorgeous. All of them are beautiful. They're all based on historical or art-related
old books.
Things and old books and tapestries and whatever. So they're just
they're great.
Gorgeous.
I would say.
And the paper is phenomenal.
Paper's really good.
Nice and thick, good for fountain pens. So for me, I don't think enough love is given to paper blanks.
Right.
What about you?
For me, I'm gonna say Stiff Flexibles. It's kind of a new player on the market recently. They upgraded their paper. Just fun notebooks. They're kind of the exact opposite of maybe a paper blanks. It's not something you know you don't expect to write your memoirs in a Stiff Flexibles.
Well, you could, but
you know this is a notebook you can throw in your backpack. You're on your way to school. You're on your way to whatever, and you want to doodle. You want to draw. You journal with it. You can. No big deal. The cover's semi-flexible. It's really a good notebook.
And they have really crazy covers. Like, there's one with a cow.
I love those.
There's
the
one with a frog.
Ones, the frog. The frog's maybe the best.
Yeah.
That's cute. It's so cute.
So check those out. But those, I think, they had released some before, and the paper wasn't quite as good. So the then distributor went back to the manufacturer and said, you've got to change the paper. And they did. And now it's really good.
Yeah.
And they have an elastic band closure.
They have an elastic band closure. But you know, and like those animals, and that's a good way to get like kids, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, get kids interested in journaling and writing. You give them a notebook that's got a fun cover on it like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're gonna be interested.
All right.
So anyway, there we go.
Next.
Good question.
It seems many pens and pen-related products have premium price tags. What are some truly affordable big value items? That is true. Some pens and some ink, you're paying for the packaging, you're paying for the brand.
Sometimes the packaging is a little over the top on a lot of pens.
Oh, especially the ones that come in giant boxes.
You know, unless it's, you know, 100th anniversary pen, yeah, it better come in a nice box. But like a regular pen, I think sometimes like Pilot and Sailor do it right because they have one box pretty much that every pen comes in.
It's very Japanese.
And it's very Japanese. It is what it is. There's nothing fancy about it.
Because the effort is on the pen.
Yeah.
All right. So
big value
affordable
items.
Big value items.
Easy. This is easy.
Okay, go.
Twisby Eco. $29. Did I just take your answer?
Yes. For a piston filling pen. $29.
Oh. The next piston filler is what? We're talking M200, we're talking Pilot Custom 92, we're in the $200 price point already. And
$29.
With the Pelican, you're getting a steel nib.
Right.
You know, I guess at least with the Custom 92, which is not very popular pen, is $220, you get a gold nib. But
right.
$29 and $200, there's no,
yes.
You know, yeah, you're going to take a steel nib. It's a great nib. Yovo?
Yep, absolutely. Let's see, other big value items. I'm going to go with ink. Schaefer, you know, some of the older brands are still very affordable.
Yeah, yeah.
Schaefer ink, great ink. I love the
Waterman.
Red. It's fire engine red. Waterman, also a great value.
You know, it's funny with Waterman, is people always ask, I want a safe ink for, you know, for my pen, and there's like 1,000 options out there. You say Waterman, they go,
Oh.
You know, I like, it's like the best ink. It really is.
Especially for vintage.
But it works
partly
great.
Because it rinses out really well.
Yeah.
What else is a good value?
You know, I think really some of the Japanese pens with gold nibs at $150.
Vanishing Point. It's
you
fun.
Know, not only is $148, you get a gold nib, but
it's just funny.
It's clicky. Come on. I mean, you know. And the nice thing about the Vanishing Point forget the fact that it's retractable. What really separates it from every other pen on the market, including at that price point, is you can replace the whole nib unit.
You can buy a separate nib unit.
You drop your pen. You can get a new one. You want something different. You want a stub. For writing Christmas cards, birthday cards, or
you
whatever.
You can buy one separately. And most... I can't think of any other pen.
Cross Peerless.
Besides the Peerless, where you can buy an extra nib unit.
Yeah, it
and
it
things
happen.
It rolls things off happen, your yeah. desk. So yeah, the Vanishing Point.
Vanishing Point. That's a solid value item.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Retro 51 rollerballs.
Yeah.
Great value.
Can't beat them.
The solid color ones are $25, and it's a great writer, a good size.
Yeah, I think everybody needs to, and I do. I have a Retro 51 that's always in my bag.
Yep.
I don't think I've ever replaced the refill, but it's always there in case my fountain pens run out. I know I always have something to write
yes.
with.
Yes. And so. They make a zillion different designs. They constantly change things up.
Yeah. Something for everyone.
Yes. All right.
All right. We got another one.
Are there any upcoming events at the Chicago store?
Pressure's on.
Well, we were just there. And we've confirmed April with Lammy.
April 20th, I think it is.
Okay.
We'll get the dates, April 20th. That's going to be interesting because we haven't done an event with Lammy before,
right.
So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we have a new sales rep, so it'll be fun with Doug. And then the Monday after the Chicago Pen Show, apparently this is our annual
second annual Visconti spring event.
Spring Fling with Michael.
I just made that up.
Yeah. Michael Hujara is going to be there. Mm-hmm. He will be at the Chicago show. And then The very next day, that Monday, at our Chicago store, yep. we will have a Visconti event.
So if you can't make it to the show,
because it is out in Hoffman Estates.
Yeah, it's Hoffman Estates. You know, I know there are a lot of people that you know they can't get out there.
Right.
Come to the store on Monday, and we're going to have an event on Monday with Visconti.
And then we are trying to figure out how to calendar in some of our own events.
Yeah, I'd like to do some vintage day, and then maybe I've been toying with the idea of having an event in Chicago where actually I do repairs.
Right.
So you know, if you have vintage pens that you need repairs, I can repair them on site, or mm-hmm. I can bring them back and repair them at home if it requires something more advanced. But I've been toying with that idea. Let me know what you guys think about that. About a vintage day or a vintage repair day, because mm-hmm. We just don't have that capability there unless I'm there.
Correct. So. Correct. But yeah, we are going to toy around yeah. with a couple of our own things so that the vendors don't have to come out all the time, yeah. but we can still showcase products.
Something different, yeah. Well, there's another one.
All right. What is your favorite pen material?
Anything with a nib in it.
Anything pretty. Well, you have a thing for tire pens, black hard rubber.
Yeah, I do. I do like ebonite. I like ebonite a lot. Okay. Ebonite or Arushi over ebonite.
Okay.
That's like one and two.
So that's like a tire with nail polish on it.
I swear, if you buy me an ebonite pen and put nail polish on it, I don't know.
I'm getting divorced.
Yeah, okay. Something is not good.
I like really pretty acrylics.
Okay.
Like this
Sailor Mosaic here.
You just put that down. Somebody bought this, I'm sure, by the time this launches on the podcast. I like pretty plastics. I don't yep. care what you call them.
What do you define pretty? Marbled, swirly, solid colors?
Sure. It depends. Depends on the color, depends on the pattern, depends on the swirl. But I like that it's not as heavy for my hand.
The acrylic,
yep. Yes.
Okay.
I like some of the sailor or the platinum celluloids.
Celluloids, yep. Those are pretty. Yep.
I'm just going to go with plastic, acrylic, whatever you want to call it. I like the non-metal, non-brass with an overlay, enamel yeah. over brass. I like a non-metal pen because of the weight, generally.
But your intensity is metal.
It is, but it's thin.
Thought I was going to catch her on that one.
Yeah, good luck with that. So,
anyway. All right. Very good.
Whew. Pressure's off. All right, what else?
All right, I think that's it. Next week, actually in a couple days, we are headed to the Land of the Rising Sun.
Woo!
So that's going to be
so
super,
excited.
Super exciting. I'm glad that's finally, it's been a little nerve-wracking up until this point.
Well, you know, no one knew who was going, and we put off, I don't know why, getting our passports, so we had to rush and do that, and that was fine. We've had them for weeks. Now I'm just trying to figure out what to pack and what to leave home and how much room to leave for shopping and...
Yeah, yeah.
They
will ship packages.
Brian's list in advance so that I can cut half of it out.
No.
There's only so much money. There's only so much room.
Look over there, Sakura.
Yeah, so we're super excited. Very grateful to Luxury Brands for the contest
yes,
and
you.
To Platinum for contributing as well. We're super excited.
It's going to be interesting on Friday when we go to Platinum. And they haven't really told us much about it, but...
There's an event.
It's like a ceremony.
A ceremony.
John Modishaw is flying in, and he's going to kind of be there with us. And he's not with us, but he'll be there.
He'll be there.
It'll just be weird to be, like, in another country and then, like, look over and, like, oh, there's John.
Well, we're going to be with three other retailers from the U.S. as well and the distributor, but it will be weird.
Yeah.
I don't know what to expect.
I don't know. Bob a lot and be polite.
Yes.
But we've got good suggestions. Thanks, Rez.
Rez, we love you.
Give me suggestions.
He should be a travel agent.
He should be.
He should be a Japanese travel agent.
I wish we had more time because there are some places outside of the local area that I would like to experiment and travel with. But like we've got a half a day on Tuesday and like most of Thursday to experiment with. But a lot of the stuff that we want to see is kind of in the Ginza. It doesn't really
leave. We're just going to stay there.
It does. Yeah, it doesn't really leave much time for us to go venture off. Right. And, you know, I don't want to get lost and.
Or stranded in a strange country.
Yeah. So. But it's going to be fun, and we'll have lots of pictures and things to talk about when we get back. So.
I have to take all the pictures off my phone.
Yeah, that was actually a really, really smart thing for you to say that, so we make sure we have...
Yes, lots of room.
Lots of room on the phone.
Cool. So, all right.
Anyway, so I guess that's it for this week.
Yes.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Join us next week. Actually, not next week, but...
Well, next time.
Whenever, next time. For more talk about pens, ink, paper, our trip to Japan, and whatever else Creative tells us we're going to talk about.
Follow the blog for news, ink reviews, all sorts of other stuff. Don't forget to sign up for the mailing list, like we mentioned before.
Yep. Check us out on social media as Anderson Pens. We're everywhere.
And, of course, the store in Chicago, ground floor of Palmer House Hilton, open 7 days a week.
And the website for that is chicago.andersonpens.com.
Like this video and subscribe to this channel.
I like this video.
I do, too.
All right.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.